Coming to you from the kitchen slash podcast studio on the south coast of England in Brighton, this is the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge Podcast, your go-to hub for no-nonsense content and absolutely no false promises of passive incomes or getting rich quick. So settle in and join your host, Des Hamilton, to find out exactly how to say goodbye to being poor and hello to being rich. Sponsored by Cellaram. Sourcing analysis simplified.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge Podcast. I don't know how long I'm going to be saying that for anymore. Listen, usually when I come on here, I've got a bunch of notes. I've got some bullet points that I know I want to hit. But then sometimes when I'm just feeling like I'm in the moment, I'm going to press record and you are going to get whatever is pouring out of this brain through this mouth into this microphone. Welcome to the show. My name is Des. I'm the guy that started with £200. Back in September 2022, with a view to turn it into an e-commerce empire eventually. I mean, let's face it, that was so far in the distance. I broke that two-year goal into monthly targets and focused on 1 month at a time. Take £200, stick 30% on it, put that back in for month two, 30% on that, 30% on that, compound, compound, compound. And in 24 months, if I manage to put 30% on every month, that will get me to my goal of £100,000. What actually happened? And I'm conscious of telling you the whole story here because that will be coming soon on the recap once the challenge is done. But ultimately, what happened was growth started, everything started, spiral out of control. And then at one point, we hit a growth of about 200% that blew us through the roof. And we are just finishing month 21. And here we are. With just £5,000 left to go. Saying it out loud, it always gets me. At the time of recording this, I have already filmed my monthly update. So I know by the time the show goes live, you guys would be aware of this. We're at £95,000. We only hit 10%, less than 10% last month, less than 12% the month before. But we are reinvesting that much money that's still generating £8,000 to £9,000 every month. Scary, isn't it? Scary. £95,000. We got £5,000 left. Now, what do we do? We're the £200,000 to £100,000 challenge podcast. We're at £200,000 to £95,000 so far. So all we got to do is throw another five on, which I must say is something we have consistently been hitting every month for the best part of 6 months now. And I can tell you with the things that we've got in place, nothing's guaranteed when you're making your own money, but it's as close as it can be. £5,000 is something we are so confident in hitting. I am here to tell you that as of July 2024, we are finishing this target. I'm 44 years old, first week of this month. We are finishing the £100,000 3 months early. We've done it in less than 2 years. Now, look, I'm in danger of rolling over here and spoiling what will be the £100,000 episode. So let's not do that. Let's focus on the fact that we have posted our results. It was a smaller month than usual, but we had a holiday. We've had birthdays, many birthdays. We've had life get in the way, but we are doing well. You know, one of my affirmations this month has changed a little bit. We're going to go more into that. Because I will bring Lydia back on. I undertook her two-week self-concept challenge. And that, with the work I've been undertaking with my therapist, it has just seen so much more coming through the door in terms of opportunity and pathways to what we need to do. Now, let's not detract from what this episode is. This is the Jack Perkins Part 2 episode. Jack himself is one of those guys that walked through the door proverbially and gave me an opportunity to reach this target that we've got to. As we talked about last week, Jack approached me and offered me a spot on what was his mentoring course. I took that, learning about wholesale and brand deals and exclusivity. And while I didn't have the capital necessarily to reinvest in those sorts of models at that time, what I did do was learn these advanced methods and then implement them into my what was then online arbitrage model. And it's just the fact that it was the first time I'd actually sat down and spoke with somebody that had done it. that had quit their job, that had leapt in with both feet, that have made mistakes, but networked beyond belief. And there he is, achieving his goals, turning over £2.5 million in the last year alone. How could you not take inspiration from that? So with that in mind, what I quickly want to share as well is our Facebook group, our online Facebook group. If you've not joined it yet, it's free. It's in the show notes. Come and say hello. In there every month, what we do in the spirit of the challenge is we encourage people to share their monthly targets and their monthly goals and their monthly results, win or lose. Now, what's really, really encouraging is that we do get both. People in our group, they have the realistic view because that's not always achievable elsewhere. It is hard. You will have bad months. You'll have months where life gets in the way and you can't put your time into the stock. We're fortunate now where we've got a place where we've got a team out there, regardless of the day that I might be having. We've got a team that are still continuing on in the background, which means those days where I might affect my business are few and far between now. We've also got Claire and we've also got other people in our business, in our network that are pulling strings for us. But in our monthly Facebook updates, it is so encouraging to see that some people who, one guy in particular, Pete, I'm calling you out, mate. Pete, been involved now for about 6 months and he had made loss after loss after loss. And he knew he was going to do that. He knew with the stock levels that he had, with the capital that he had, it was going to be quite a long process before he could put in enough with the practices that he had built to build it up. This month, he made a profit and he didn't just make a bit, he made £300 profit. What? I love it. The sheer resilience. And I'll tell you what, Pete, if you're listening, I haven't asked you yet, but consider this my invitation. You are welcome on, mate. In fact, I'm going to make it happen. You're going to come on this bleeding show and we're going to have a chat and we're going to talk about just how awesome you are because you are kicking on, mate. I have no doubt about it in my life. Anyway, let's get into the interview, shall we? Let's go and speak to Jack and find out what he's got to say this week. Spoiler. It's a belter. Roland, talk us through. You very first started, you've sat this wholesale course. Do you remember the first time you got approved by a decent wholesaler? Or do you remember when you first got a really good brand partnership?
You know what? When I first got approved by like a good supplier and stuff, it's funny because I can remember when I got my first price list sent to me. And I was like, finally, yes. And I didn't get anything from it. I got my first brand direct account and I was like, oh, yes. Here it goes. And it was terrible. So like, you don't know it's good until you've analyzed it all. Sometimes you can get something free and it doesn't look too good. And you're like, oh, this is a banger. You know, you just don't know. So for me, you know, I was quite happy when that happened. And I started to get a few accounts that were like, oh, this is good. This is decent. First brand partnership, I definitely remember. Because I was called up and they were telling me off. Because I wasn't supposed to be selling the product because somebody had exclusivity. But I didn't know. And obviously the barriers weren't in place that I couldn't not do what I did. I had a good chat. And this is where Gift of the Gab kind of comes in as well. You know, got her to laugh, had a chat, and then basically said, well, yeah, I'll kick myself if I don't answer this. And then I asked question after question after question about why they're not doing certain things on Amazon. And by the fourth or fifth question, you can hear the doubt in her voice. And then she was like, do you know stuff about Amazon quite well then, do you, Jack? And I'm like, here we go. Yes, I do. I'm very good. And then I was like, well, how about this? I'll do all this for you. We'll work on a 3-month trial. If you're happy with what I'm showing you, we'll crack on. If not, we'll leave it. Got the 3-month trial, checked in 3 months. Oh, yeah, Jack, I'm happy. I'm fine. Yeah. And that lasted. And that made me just done, well, it was £99,000 net last year in 2023 with one product. And I lost the brand opportunity. I lost the exclusivity deal in September. So I didn't even have it for Q4.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's good and bad.
Yeah, of course.
It was quite a low margin product. So a lot of money was being put down on it. So to a degree, the way I look at it, again, when we talk about silver linings and stuff, is that just freed up an insane amount of cash. I had crazy good experience. And then I could put that to different strategies that would return me more and also give me better IP.
Yeah.
So... yeah.
I remember, mate, it was you that told me, I think I found a product and I said to you at the time when I was on your training, I said, look, we've got this product. It sells about 1,500 times a month, 1,500 times a month, but it's only a quid profit. And you went to me, well, that's 1,500 quid. And it was that light bulb.
Yeah.
Christ, of course it is. And here's me going, oh, it's only a quid. And Again, they're the naysayers, right? They're the comments you get on TikTok. Oh, you're doing all that effort for a quid a month.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing it for a quid a month. I'm doing it for 15.
It's quite nuts because even that, yeah, like you imagine a quid in front of you. And even that's imagine a quid every hour. And you'd be like, oh, cool. But you don't seem to get too excited. But then all of a sudden you put that 24 quid and even then you're like, oh, 24 quid, change. It's not bad. Then you add that up over the month and you're like, hang on, that's about, 600 quid or something. And then you're like, well, actually, that's pretty decent. That would pay for a mortgage. That would pay for car payments. That would pay for the food, the utilities. That can pay for quite a lot. And that's just one product selling 24 times a day at a quid profit.
Yeah.
To the entire UK market. And you can go past that if you want and sell internationally.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, which Amazon are actually trying to help you do at the moment as well. Yeah,
you'll get emails. Everyone, they are awful, but they're also fantastic.
Yeah, of course. You know. The way I see it, mate, it's a bit like when you start, when you grow up a little bit and you get your first job and you're still with mum and dad and they start asking for housekeeping. That is Amazon in a nutshell. You get to live in their house and eat their food and use all of their facilities, but you have to pay them to suck it.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. Yeah. And to be fair, most of the time, if you've complained about Amazon before, and sometimes I do, I get it, you know, it is annoying at times, but usually it is because you're not following policies, you know, just to some degree, or you're trying to pull a fast one, or maybe you're doing something wrong, but you didn't know you were doing wrong. Sometimes people can just be asses and come at you, you know, like when you're launching a private label product or even a bundle, sometimes you will get competitors jump on. And if you're not fast with getting those reviews up quickly to balance out that average, you will struggle. I spent $9,000 on a PL the other month. First review, picture review, like that. Damaged product. I could see that they got a hammer to every piece because it's impossible for all of the products to be affected the way they were. So I got a 1-star picture review straight away. Does that affect you? It really does. Could I relaunch? Yeah. Is he going to do it again? Yes. So you've just got really power through. And smash it. I don't like doing it to competitors. I've never done it. I've never done bad reviews. I've never tried to attack them in any way. I believe fair competition. If people do it to me, I guess I'm just going to have to take it a little bit.
This is it. We were talking about this before we press record, weren't we? There are grey elements in Amazon selling, but there are some things that are just don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't go to a competitor and stick all of their units in your basket and don't touch it.
Yeah.
Don't go on there and exactly that, write bad reviews or damage their products. I mean, that's next level.
That's it. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's the temptation there. And the thoughts come in. You're like, if I just click this button or I do this, that will happen. But then you're like, but then karma will get me. So don't do it. You know, and the thoughts are natural.
Exactly. A good mate of mine, I love it. A good mate of mine. I mean, he passed away in February, which was a shame. But he was an insomniac. So he would wake up in the middle of the night. He would tank all of the prices on his own listings because he knew reprices would kick in.
Yeah.
And then about 2 hours later, he'd knock his price back up before everybody woke up in the daytimes. And that was it. And he said, that's how I deal with tanking. Yeah. That's the grey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's not then damaging.
That's just taking some... Take the sales, which is that's part of it anyway. You can do it on the daily. That's just be clever about it, really, isn't it?
Exactly right. But no, I do love it though, mate. It's one of those things that I really bang on about in my training because I specialize in beginners and teach them what to do until they get to that crossroads and when they scale up. Hopefully, mate, I've got a network big enough that I can put them in touch with the right people. That's kind of how I want to do it.
Yeah.
But when we start talking about IP complaints, price tankers, competition, deal sheets, lead lists, oversaturation, all of that. My ethos is that is the game. That is the beginning stages. You need to figure out how to handle tankers because they won't go away. How to handle something where you were one of three sellers, now there's 50. Because if you can't manage that at the beginning stages, when you get into wholesale, that stuff's still going to happen, only it happens now in bulk.
Yeah, exactly. I think I've changed my idea on certain things slightly on how I look at how I wish I got into Amazon anyway. And you know, I was on about taking the punches with different businesses and stuff earlier. Even though it's the same business, the strategies are different and there's different things to learn, right? You know, because obviously there's different ways you're going to respond to price tankers when you're doing different things. Like even private label, you're going to deal with price tanking to a degree, but it's on separate listings and you can react in different ways. There's something Alex Amosi said actually a couple months ago that really got in my head was a 10 out of 10 effort on a 2 out of 10 opportunity is awful compared to 10 out of 10 effort on a 10 out of 10 opportunity. Do you know what I mean? So like if you're putting all your time in, the same amount of time and dedication something that's going to make you 10 grand a month like that, as opposed to something that's going to make you 500 quid a month, but it's the same effort required, different outcomes. Do you know what I mean? And if you're going through that learning stages, do you just learn the higher paying thing quicker? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you need to go up the ranks? Sometimes.
That's a good answer. Sometimes. Depends on your capital.
That's the big thing. It depends on your capital and your actual life. You know, do you have the time? Do you have this and that? Like, if you've got 20 grand sat there in your bank or 10 grand sat there in your bank and you've got a decent job, you're happy with how your life is, and you genuinely just want to do side hustle that's like going to build, but it's not your everything, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Maybe you do just want to jump straight into PL and things like that because you've got a little bit more flexibility. If you've not got much money, but you've got a bit of time and you're struggling, 100%, if you've got less than like grand, 100% you want to start with RA, book flipping, you know, stuff like that, because, you know, you can't do the PL if you don't have the money.
That's exactly it. That's exactly the situation I found myself in. Yeah. I got to a point where I had enough money. I thought, right, that's it. Now I can start doing that stuff. I mean, when we sat your course, I didn't have the capital to fully invest and get decent wholesale accounts open. So I'm sort of shopping through Booker's and Macro and Costco. You know what I mean? Just knocking out Haribo marshmallows, but it's a different thing.
And even then, when you're in Booker's, Booker's ain't going to make you rich. But what Booker's will do is it'll start to give you that opportunity to test products, understand sales volume on Amazon, understand ranking, what does and doesn't sell, how listings look, how brands work, how distribution works on both Amazon and the suppliers you're going to be buying from. So it starts to give you all that information, doesn't it? So that when you have that one that's a banger, instead of you like doing those mistakes at a higher level, you've already made them at a smaller level. So when you're doing the bigger stuff, it's just flowing.
Exactly. It's interesting when you talked about how much effort are you going to make for how much money you're going to make. The podcast that goes out this week, it wasn't meant to be this way. I turned it on my microphone and I meant to do a 5-minute introduction for Thomas Parkinson chat. And before you know it, I have done a 30-minute monologue on that exact thing. So we're in June.
Yeah.
Me and my wife, we sat down on Sunday and we went, right, where are our end of year goals? We wrote down all of our income streams and how much effort we're putting into those and then what else we're putting our effort in. And on reflection, mate, we were wasting hours and hours and hours each week on things that weren't making us any money or presenting opportunities. Yeah. This podcast doesn't make me any money, but the opportunities it provides me, you can't put a value on it. So this isn't going to stop ever. But all of a sudden, we were thinking, we're spending an awful lot of time making other people rich, but not ourselves.
Yeah.
So we decided, right, what will make us the most money? How much effort would it take to maximize that opportunity? And let's change our strategy up. And I ended up doing this whole 30-minute podcast, basically telling people, don't forget to reflect on your goals and figure out what it is you're doing and where you're spending your time. Because you could be wasting your time on something that's earning you 2 grand, where you could be spending the same amount of time on something that could make you 10 grand. Exactly like you said. That's amazing, really, that that's come up this week.
100%. And like, even with, I see this with like the bundles and the brand partnership opportunities and stuff as well, right? Like, people always say to me, oh, yeah, but I only just started, or this and that, brand partnership opportunities, I just don't know. And on my like training, I give the example of one that I missed out on by about 2 weeks. Somebody got it before me. The guy had about 4 RA products on his storefront, and then he got this brand partnership that probably makes him about just under a grand a month profit. At the moment, that can scale, right? First of all, that knocks the idea that you need to be an expert to get a brand partnership opportunity is wrong. The woman I spoke to who owned the brand, she was like, yes, he already has a presence on Amazon UK. And I was like, yeah, I know he does, but he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, that's what my reaction was, because obviously I'm the competitor. I'm like, I wanted it. But the guy got it. And that's what's important, right? And then flip side to that, there's a guy who I spoke to about 3 months ago, who started in September last year, who discovered the brand partnership opportunity. And you know what? He sounded like he knew his stuff quite quickly. Well, the brand partnership deals he's got, he would require about 2 million a year spend straight away. So does he have it? I don't think he does. Will he be able to get it? Yeah, I reckon he can, right? Or whether he passes it off to somebody, or whether he joins with people, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the point is exactly that with the opportunity. So don't look at something and be like, oh God, I would need at least 100 grand to buy that product. Because I'm telling you now, if you can get that brand partnership opportunity and that's going to make you 20, 30 grand a month profit, are you going to be able to find 100 grand? Yeah, you're going to be able to get it from somewhere, whether it's bringing investors in, well, you know, or taking loans or getting credit, working something out with the business, you know, you will work it out.
Yeah.
If the opportunities are.
That's it. No, it's amazing, isn't it? And it is just a case of just backing yourself.
Yeah.
Which is easier said than done. I mean, especially for my audience, where if you're my age and you've kind of been beaten down a little bit by life, you know what I mean? You need some. It's enough that you get your first sale and you think, this isn't a scam. This actually works.
Like we said there as well, sometimes that's limiting beliefs and factors as well, though. Because even though life does beat you down as you go forward, again, that's all experience that you can leverage.
You know? Yeah, absolutely right. And I think when I sat your training, I think I was deep in the mire with the limiting beliefs. I mean, I was fairly new. It was before Christmas, wasn't it, I think, of the first year.
Yeah.
So like 3-4 months in. And I remember I got a deal, didn't I? I found a product, and I've never forget it because I still see it in the shops now and it drives me mad. But I found the product and I reached out to the brand themselves and they said, we have an exclusive seller, but we're not happy with them. What is it you know? And me and you knocked up a script.
That was week three, I think. That was week three of the mentoring, completely new. And I can remember you sending it to me and I was like, usually I feel like this is like, I didn't see this coming. And I was like, I kind of want to say, I don't know if you're at the level of experience, but I'm like, well, you're not going to say no to a deal like this if you can make it work. So that's when I was like, right, we'll put a couple hours to the side, didn't we? And then we spoke about it, analysed it together. And obviously you didn't get that one in the end, did you? I mean, that was a few grand a month profit right there, probably, wasn't it?
It was. I'll tell you what, this conversation is making me look back and I'd have a little roll of the dice. I've got the money.
I think
now.
So, mate.
Love it.
That's exactly what I said earlier as well, when it's those things that might not look as if they're opportunity right now, well, you can't execute properly because whatever reason, that opportunity is not going anywhere potentially. And then time's gone on now, you've got more experience, you've got the money, give them a call. You might have just got a brand partnership opportunity that you found when you first started.
Might have done, because if they still think their geezer's a mug, we're all right
exactly,
here.
Exactly, mate. Yeah. It's nuts, isn't it? Yeah, so I think that's why it's really important to check up as well on your past experiences where you've decided that it's not right or it's not going to work or they've said no. That goes for wholesalers, distributors, brands, absolutely everything. Things change. You could try to brand exclusivity and they could say, no, we've got someone. No, we're going to do it ourselves. And then you can see they've launched on Amazon themselves and they've done it awful. And then 6 months down the line, maybe their Amazon specialist who works internally has quit and they don't know what to do. Yeah. Don't assume. Loads of things happen. Businesses are the same everywhere. Life's the same everywhere. Do you know what I mean? It's all changing.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because what I preach about this all the time when it comes to products, especially for products that people get on a deal sheet or a Discord, if you sell out, don't just delete your listing. Go back and see if you can source it somewhere else and that could be a retail.
Exactly.
I talk about it with products. It hadn't even crossed my mind to talk about it in terms of relationships and also like opportunities. That's amazing. Yeah.
It's nuts, isn't it? It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's actually sometimes when you actually open up your eyes and you see all the opportunity, it borderline goes from overwhelming of, God, there's no opportunity. I don't know how to make money to, oh my God, there's so much opportunity. Do you know what I mean? And you're like, which one do I focus on?
This is it. Well, that's been the story of the last 9 months for me. Since this podcast has kicked off and gone really well, I've had so many people offer to help and there's only so many hours in a day. And it's like, well, which one's going to make us the most money, which one do we like the most to align ourselves with? And all of this opportunities there. And now me and my wife, we've said, we're not going back whether this could all fall down everywhere, but there will be another person that I know is willing to help us.
Yeah.
We're not going back now. We've got everything we possibly need to give us the life we want. We've just got to pull the trigger on the
way. Do you know what's nuts as well? So in the year or two or whatever that's been happening, you've already seen a massive change, right? As have I in my own life and, you know, business.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've got a lot more time freedom, borderline got location freedom, made a lot more money, stacked, you know, got loads of experiences. That's a couple of years.
Yeah.
It's a couple of years. Think about keep in mind that you're going to go, you know, it's exponential growth. It's not like a linear growth pattern, is it? You know, you look at 5 years, 10 years, as long as you stay on the same journey. You know, I know a guy who does dropshipping on beds, right? He's gone bankrupt twice because he buys 7 brand new cars straight off the bat because he loves them and stuff like that, right? He goes bankrupt, gets upset, gets back into it, and he's doing 10 grand profit days within like in 30 days or something.
Man.
Because he's got the contacts, he's got all the creatives, he knows how it works, he knows what went wrong, he was spending too much. Do you know what I mean? So, like, the guy's been doing it probably 10 years or something or so, you know. And,
yeah,
he might go bankrupt, but he's got a fucking 10K a day profit skill.
It's incredible,
do you know what
isn't
I mean?
It?
So it's crazy, isn't it?
It really
borderline,
is.
To a degree, it can be a benefit as well, the way you spin it and the silver linings of that. Because if you've got so much going on and everything starts to crumble, then all of a sudden, your allocated time to all these different, you know, ideas can now be allocated to one again or two. So you're hyper-focused on something that's going to...
Yeah, we really are. And it's when you say it's exactly like you said, mate. It's been 2 years. It's been less than 2 years. My challenge is still in play, and it's a two-year challenge.
Yeah, of course.
And it has flown by. But when you think, I started when I was 43. I'm going to be 44 next month. Bloody hell, month today. Yeah, I'm going to be 44 next month. By the time I'm 50, we are going to be knee-deep in a dream life. If I carried on and I hadn't found Amazon and I hadn't found everything that I'd found since September 2022, I would have got my head down and worked equally hard in my day job. And maybe I get to live a nice life when I'm 65. Maybe.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee. I would need inheritance money. I would need this mortgage to be paid off. There's no guarantee to that if I was going down that path. And at the same time, my kids would see me stressed up to the eyeballs for the next 20 years and not have the relationship that I've got with them.
Exactly that, mate. It's...
So I either get my head down for 5 years or I get my head down for 25.
Yeah,
that's
it's weird, isn't it?
You know?
It is weird. Like, so many people ask you whether it's worth it, don't they? And I can remember, I speak to a few RAF buddies still, and they're still in. And I'm like, you tried to say stuff not to sound like a dick. But like, like when I was in the RAF, like, especially like the annual wage, if you take away the taxes and all that stuff, right, I made the same amount of what I did in an annual term in the RAF in a month on Amazon profit. Do you know what I mean?
Amazing.
That's not happened every month, but like,
no,
I did 1 month where I did that. It's over 20 grand net in one month, right?
Yeah.
What? And I'm not even touching the surface. I'm still one of the small sellers, in my opinion. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, some people who just start, obviously, look at that and they're like, Jesus, yeah, that's good. You're laughing. And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. But at the same time, I want 50 and 100 consistently per month. Yeah, that's where I want to be.
And it comes back to that network, doesn't it? The network that you found yourself in and the network I'm finding myself in. You can't help but aspire to people that are doing better than you, who are in arm's reach as well, that you know you can pick up the phone to and say, can you help me with this problem? And they might be charging someone 200 quid an hour for the same advice, but they would get back to you in a heartbeat for free.
Yeah. That's the thing. I jump on calls with people, just like who I've talked before or friends and stuff. Like somebody messaged me the other day saying, mate, I'm really struggling at the moment. I've gone all in, but I've just lost motivation and this and that. And I just said, what time are you free today? We just dropped on a call for about an hour and a half. Just to like give them a little bit of a, come on, mate. Like it takes some time, but like, what's your other choice? To keep doing what you hate, you know, if you don't pull your finger out.
Exactly. I remember you saying beforehand that, look, is it your niece? They're really, really happy with how you're doing and they see you living this life that's outside of the norm.
Yeah, really nice, mate. Yeah, nieces and nephews actually are like that. And even my little brother who's 8, he actually said something the other week that really meant a lot to me. He was like, Jack, when I'm older, I want to be like you. I was like, oh, God, you know, that was lovely to hear. It really got me. But yeah, no, it really does mean a lot because, you know, you're going to pass that on to them, really. You know, they'll start to see that and they'll hopefully imitate what you do, but better. That's the key. Yeah. You to do well, and then your kids, your nieces and nephews, anybody who's, you know, generations below in your family or community even, you want them to do better.
You do. And you know that what you do works.
Yeah.
And you know that you're showing them that there is an alternative to being farmed down the PAYE.
Exactly. Like if my niece in 10 years' time says, oh, Jack, look at the stuff I've been doing. I made 400 grams this month, you know, at 24 or something. And she's like, oh, yeah, by the way, also I'm living here. I'm doing that. I'm top in this sport, blah, 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 and all this stuff. I'm going to be like that. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know.
That's
I'm going to be buzzing. And a lot of people would be jealous. That's where a lot of people have their downfall as well. They're trying to keep people below them to make themselves feel better instead of going up and pulling people up with them.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I'm already known by the kids, by the kids' classmates at schools, I'm the TikTok dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. How many dads at school were like known as the TikTok? She took it into brownies. She had to do a thing. What do your mum and dad do for a living? And I said, well, do I give you my day job or should I tell you I'm a content creator? Well, let's go with that, mate. Yeah. Jerry, tell him I'm a TikToker.
Yeah. No, I love that, though. I love it.
Yeah, it's lovely, mate. And again, you can see how proud they are because all of a sudden I got a cool job. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is weird because it's like when certain people hear stuff about TikTok and stuff, I think people don't even realize the opportunity on it. I'm sleeping on loads of opportunity on TikTok, if I'm honest.
But you're doing well, aren't you? You've got 10,000 now?
Yeah, I go through phases of when I'm just like, nah. I don't do it, or if I've got a different thing that I need to focus on. But right now I'm trying to focus on doing, you know, 3 posts per day, around about there. But I'm trying to make them valuable as opposed to just like random stuff. Sometimes I do random stuff. I just try to do, you know, this is what I would do with, you know, or this is how I analyze a product. You know, I'm literally just giving away. This is quite funny actually, right? I did a private label evaluation video, which I don't know whether I've posted yet or invited to. Yeah. And I did it about 1:30 video. And I'm just talking for ass. I'm going through it. Just like, check this is bad, blah, 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 blah. And I go through it. And I was like, Jesus, that video's like the pure value, right? That'll get 200 views.
Yeah, it will.
And it's so funny because so many people who sell on Amazon would love to see that video. But it just doesn't go.
It's amazing, mate. One of the videos I am the most proud of. I did it when I remember when TikTok went for that landscape phase.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did one, and it was a Mary Poppins clip, and it's that clip that motivated me to get started. Like me as a dad, I don't want to be Mr. Banks, all that bombed. Absolutely bombed. And I thought, no, I'm keeping it up. I love that post. Meanwhile, yesterday, I did a 7-second clip of me in the wholesaler in the cash and carry, and I've got my baby girl on my rucksack, and I'm pushing the boy in the trolley at the same time. And it was a 7-second silent clip, just saying point of view. You were looking for deals, but the babysitter's fallen through. Thousands. That gives you nothing.
Yeah.
That's literally nothing.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's really frustrating because there's a part of you that's like, well, that's what people want, apparently.
I know.
So you kind of stick to that, don't you? But then also you just want to go down the value route. And that's why the social media side's hard, isn't it? Because you need to keep a balance of value as well as doing what people like, I guess.
I think that's important as well. And even for the people that have done well on social media, I can't tell you what posts will work and which ones don't. I can tell you that hashtags mean nothing. That the time of day that you post means bugger all of it. Because I noticed statistically, I went on Top Backup and I downloaded all of my content as a spreadsheet. I stuck it into ChatGPT and I said, now tell me the best time of day and the best hashtags to use. And it came back and went, there aren't any. So it's meaningless. It's a good hook and a decent post.
If it's a good video, it's a good video.
Yeah,
that's it.
But the Mr. Banks one is a good video, Jack. It is. I don't know what's got the Mr. Banks one is a good video.
You know what I see with a lot of people as well? Interesting. This will be the same for myself. It's fantastic video, great value. Hook's awful.
Yeah.
You'll never get to know if it's a good video. If people are like, I don't know why it didn't go. I think there's loads of value. And it's like, well, everyone dropped off at 3 seconds. So they didn't get to see the value.
No, that's it. And a hook now is threefold. It's what you say, it's what's written, and it's the visual behind.
100%. Everything in it. Sometimes I know that, but I don't even do that all the time just because I'm like, I have a thought and I'm like, oh, this would be a good video. And I just do the video.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. I did one and I've literally filmed one in Tesco. It'll probably go live tomorrow. This morning, it was 8 o'clock in the morning. And there are loads of brawn shavers on club card, 130 quid down to 50 quid. And I did a whole post saying, this is why Tesco club card deals are pony. Don't pay attention to any of them because you won't get a good deal. And everyone in the country is looking for them. Right. So, how then have you integrated your social media? Because how long have you been working on your social media for?
Oh, I don't know, mate. Probably a couple of years. Probably just before yours, really, I would have thought.
You still got a bigger following than an awful lot on there, though.
Yeah, I think I've got like 5,500 on Instagram and almost...
Which is a good effort, mate. That 5,500 on Instagram is probably about 20,000 on TikTok.
Yeah, right? I think so. I took it serious last year for like a month and I went from 1,000 to 5,000 on Instagram. And then I went from 3,000 to 8,000 on TikTok or something. Because I just dedicated some time to being better on it and I took it serious. And I'm taking it serious again as of like, I was supposed to do it beginning of last month, but obviously dad became ill at past. So obviously I kind of like, put everything on the back burner. But then from this week as such, I'm going to try to get back into a routine, a normality a bit. So I'm going to be pushing it again now. So I'm going to be aiming for a bigger reaching audience on TikTok and Instagram.
Love it. Love it. So while you're talking about it, who are you on Instagram and TikTok? How can people follow you?
Jack the Entrepreneur.
Jack the Entrepreneur. I will put it in the show notes.
I kind of wanted to change it at points, but then I'm like, nah, I'm going to own it. I don't care. Stuff it. Just, yeah, if you do have a look at it, if anyone looks at it, then just be careful because there's people who are obviously just like imitating it and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And it's because it's the Entrepreneur and I've just spelled it correctly. So it's like EE. It's so easy for people just to take either EE and do this or spell Entrepreneur a little bit wrong at the end and you wouldn't really be able to tell. But you'll see mine because it's linked to my Instagram, which is Elba Tick.
Perfect. Perfect. And this is the key, right? Because I get this all the time. How many accounts have you got? One, and it's the one that's spelt correctly, for God's sake. Come on.
Yeah, it's a nightmare, and I feel bad. I hope nobody gets scammed. It's hard because I have created a new TikTok and Instagram, but it's for my consultancy side, so FBA Kickstarter. So do you know what I mean? So there is a little bit of an element of that, but then again, I've tagged it to mine, and then on my social media, I've got like owner at FBA Kickstarter. Do you know what I mean? So I think if they're linked, and I'm hoping.
I think once you hit 10,000 on TikTok, you can start putting a link tree in as well. So then that's an easy connection to make through.
That's fair, actually.
So what were there, mate? Lovely, lovely link, by the way. Talk us through the FBA Kickstarter.
So it's something that it's what I named my wholesale mentor in a while back anyway.
I just like
the name. I've actually restructured it, and I basically decided to give away everything I know about Amazon. Instead of holding stuff back because of me having a bad mindset, I've just decided to put in, you know, a wholesale, brand partnership, exclusivity, bundles, how to launch them, basically everything. And then you just join and you get all that straight off the bat for a monthly cost, which is pretty cheap, to be honest, considering what's in there. And also there's going to be weekly webinars with myself, Q&As, I'm going to get special guests in, stuff like that, giving tips and that. To be honest, I don't think anybody's actually done it the way that I've done it. I put as much in that I've put in.
Right.
Like, well, I know for a fact. You don't want to sound too like, it is too bad, but and I'm constantly going to add to it as well. Everything I know, and
you are. I'm going to highlight here. This is the bit where you promote yourself. So come on, mate, don't be shy.
Get it? Yeah. That's all I need to say on it, really. I reckon. I mean, everything's in there. I think it's about 2.3 million now in the last like 2 years. I think 2.5 years, something like that. I'm losing track of time. It might be 3 years. I'm not sure. Something like that. Right, it's like 1.4 in the last 12 months. So everything that I've learned in that time. And how to do these different strategies, I've just put it in that.
But yeah, as I say, I should highlight. So I sat Jack's wholesale course 12 to 15 months ago. And even then, as we talked about on here, I went to Jack and said, there's a brand exclusivity deal going on here. And it was obvious that you knew what you were talking about because you gave me bullet points to hit, the negotiation stuff. And that was 12 to 15 months ago. So how that must have grown and evolved by now, if you're offering that out.
It's a lot more clear cut now because I'm not one of these guys that learns something today and then it's got a brand new course next week. Do you know what I mean? Like if you fully understand it, you fully understand it. But like bundles, for example, and brand partnerships. When I first got them and I first started launching and stuff, I'm like, oh, this is looking good. But I don't know if something can go wrong yet because it's not matured long enough. And then once I did another one and another one for both strategies, I was like, yeah, I'm quite confident with this. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing because you can know what you're doing or you think you know what you're doing and experiment in, but you've got to think somebody's going to come to you and say, hey, my PPC cost is this. How do I adjust my budget? What ideal tack off should I be at? How do I even track that? Yeah. You know, and all this type of stuff. And you need to be able to say, yeah, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And all that's in there.
I think, I think that's a great shout. And I think you're right to draw that out as well because PPC is such a gray area. It can be so daunting for people like me that are going into advanced models where PPC is so integral to creating your own listing. Whereas 5 years ago, maybe not. It's changed so much now. I've heard so many people saying, oh, I was spending 20 quid a month 5 years ago on PPC. Now I'm spending 20 grand. You know what I mean? And
I spent 8 grand last month on PPC.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, mate. Those are the going rates now, aren't they, really? If you've got a listing that you want to throw to the top. Yeah, savage. But I think that's important to draw out because I think there is an awful lot of education that can be done in that space.
Yeah.
I love it. So what are your future plans that you're happy to share if you've got any, or are you just taking this on to see what you're seeing?
Yeah, sure. So at the moment, you know, as everyone's got their own things, right? Everyone's got their own downfalls, and they see stuff happening, and then they realize they went down the wrong kind of route. See, I lost my big exclusivity deals, and I've still got others and stuff, but it's just not as wow as I wanted it. And I've learned stuff from my own that obviously I pass on. So I'm going to be focusing on bundles and brand partnerships and just stacking. And I want to get to about 30 grand profit a month consistently and being tied over. And then I think I'm actually just going to pocket for a while and optimize, through lowering cost of goods, better advertising costs, everything flowing. It flows very nice now, but when you, as you increase and stuff, obviously things do change here and there. You need more space, you need this and that, right?
Yeah.
But then once I get to that, I'm just going to maintain that. Obviously, to maintain something, you do need to grow, obviously, but that's where the efficiency side is going to come in. Then I would look to exit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Or even if nobody wants to buy it, I'll just leave it on automation. That's what I want.
That's it. Start building your trade.
Yeah, 360 grand a year. Just from that one business, just ticking over, which isn't terrible.
It's enough, mate, isn't it? It's enough to live a lovely life.
It's definitely enough. Like, this is a big thing as well. What other people should think about is if you want the nice car, you want the nice house and all that, that's absolutely fine. But just don't go down false goals of others and stuff like that. Find your own. Don't just be too swayed, especially for younger people. I think, myself included, you see certain things and you're like, yeah, I need that now. Well, that's my main goal. And the truth is, if you set a stupid goal that's not actually truly yours and it takes you 5 years to achieve it, once you've achieved it and you feel empty, guess what? You've just put 5 years towards an empty goal.
It's a great shout. It's a great shout. It really is knowing yourself and knowing the difference between what you want and what you need. It really is. I mean, we've still got an unfinished loft project, for God's sake. That won't be finished. That we had a goal that would be finished before the end of the challenge. And we're thinking, no, we would rather reinvest.
Yeah.
And keep on going. The house is fine. People live here.
Exactly. You know what I mean? What's that loft really going to give you? Would it be nice to have space, if there was unlimited money? Yes.
Yes.
However, can that money be utilized elsewhere? This is what a big thing people do as well, isn't it? That they put money into places they don't need. My mum redoes her house every bloody year and it kills me inside. But hey, it makes her happy and she's fine and she's happy. So it's different.
Yeah.
But
like
my house, for example, my house is bland. It was a new build 7 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. I've not put a lick of paint on. I've not changed the carpets. It's got basic furnishings. I just don't care for that stuff right now.
No, I completely agree. Completely agree. This is stick-on wallpaper, and these picture frames are from the range. You know what I mean? We've talked about where we can find you. What one bit of advice would you give to people getting started that you don't think we've spoken about far?
I think the hardest part for me, well, it wasn't too bad for me, but I see it often with people coming in and somebody says, it's a scam. No, it's not. It's a real business. It's going to take some time. Or, you're not smart enough. I might not have the knowledge right now, but I will acquire it. You need to say this, spoken out loud, defend yourself for your own self and to hopefully stop those negative comments as well. So put that barrier up and then... And then as well, when you say it out loud, not only are you protecting it, but you're reinforcing to yourself, I've got this, I'm going to smash it.
Exactly right. I'd go one further than that. I'd do it on my own. I'm on my own in this house and I've done it already. Those are my affirmations. Yeah. Exactly that. This is going to work. This is a success. This is how I'm going to make my money because I've already made up my mind. I'm going to do it. I love it. Right, mate. Let's call it a day. We'll definitely have you back on, Jack. If you're
Yeah, mate. Awesome. Mate. Sounds good. Cheers for having me.
No, my pleasure, mate. It's been a real pleasure to catch up.
Yes.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, that was the end of the interview. I've no doubt we'll get Jack back in here because what he's doing now is that he is branching out in a way where he is much, much more independent than he was when I first met him. So Jack himself as an Amazon seller, if we strip away everything else and just put him down as an Amazon seller, he's always been that guy that will graft, will put himself out there, will pick up the phone to a brand and say, I am awesome at Amazon. I can make your stuff better. And away he goes. Brand deals, exclusivity, big brands that he now knows he will be the only person profiting off that brand and he can throw out IP complaints. Then on top of that, he's figured out how he's working his bundles and he's got his own bundle method that is doing everything for him as well. And he does wholesale. And also private label, and sometimes a bit of a mix of everything in between. And that's the beauty of this game, whether it's Amazon selling, e-commerce, I don't care. It doesn't have to be Amazon. These days, you've got TikTok Shop, you've got Walmart if you went over across the Atlantic, you've also got Rakuten, you've got eBay, you've got Vinted, you've got Facebook Marketplace. All of these places are places where you can take a little bit of money, make it generate more money. I tell you what.
Tip of the week.
Who is it in your network that lights you up? Who is it in your support network? It doesn't have to be this online community. It can be the people around your family. You know as well as I do, there are people right next to you that you may not have looked at from an entrepreneur's point of view that you think, you know what, actually, we could have a chat. As you all know, the sort of job that I've been doing all my life, I've never really sat down with my entrepreneur mates, and I've got a few of them, and talked about the fact that they didn't follow the normal path that we all followed. But there are people around you, and they could be closer than you think, that could make everything you do better. Start looking at people with a different mindset.
Tip of the week.
All right, that's the show, everybody. I really enjoyed this one, you know, mostly because we're £5,000 from the target and I can finally share that. Mostly because everyone in the community is doing so well. Jack himself is doing so well. It's lovely to catch up with an old pal like that, and I've no doubt he'll come back on. And on top of that, we can start thinking about what comes after the challenge, because we've not really been thinking about it too much. But the ideas that we have got, they're exciting, and I can't wait to share them. So with that in mind, have a lovely week. Next week, we've got another big interview. I'm not going to spoil this one because we've got a bunch of people that are literally changing their lives on this show. I can't wait to share their stories with you further. Right, have a lovely week. Take care. Ta-da.
You've been listening to the 200 to 100,000 pounds challenge podcast. Be sure to join us next time for more real talk and undoubtedly terrible jokes as Des gets ever more closer to saying goodbye poor, hello rich. Sponsored by Seller-Am. Sourcing analysis simplified. Just a little reminder that this podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. It cannot and does not constitute any form of financial advice. We know things are tough for a lot of people right now, so if you need assistance organising your money, please seek the help of a qualified financial advisor.